Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our church. I am so glad to get to be preaching today and getting to talk to you. I'm so excited. It has been really fun. Has anybody been keeping up with Rio and what Michael Phelps has been doing and what the gymnasts have been doing? It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's been so fun to get to watch. I always look forward to the summer. And getting to see those athletes. So today we will be reading Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. So if you would pull that up, please, and we'll read that together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Easy today, isn't it? Only a few verses. No long-winded talking today. So it's been really cool to get to read this and get to study the scripture and get to do this series with you guys. So last week, Matt came up here and he talked to you guys and he talked about kind of the reality. And the first step in recovery is to realize I'm not God and admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unimaginable. It is unmanageable. And so we called that first step the reality step. So maybe you guys were here last week and maybe you thought, okay, well, that was a great sermon, or okay, this seems like a really cool series, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe I know somebody who this is for, but this isn't really for me. Maybe you're having a difficult time accepting what Matt talked about, or maybe you're just denying it altogether. But maybe you're saying all this and thinking all this, and deep down you know, you just don't want to admit it, but you know that this is for you, that these teachings are for you. That there is some type of struggle in your life that maybe you're having difficulty overcoming, that maybe there's something in your life that is just holding you back. So maybe you're just denying it altogether, and you know that God has this for you, that he wants you to hear this, that he wants you to learn, that he wants to teach you and guide you. So there are three denial busters that God tends to use whenever, if you have your phone, I encourage you to get it out, take notes using our app in the teaching notes section. I would love for you guys to do that. So anyway, back to it. God uses three denial busters that we've learned about, that I have learned about and I hope to share with you. The first is crisis. And crisis is maybe an illness or a stress, or maybe you lose your job, but maybe something happens in your life that just kind of shakes you a little bit, and you kind of realize if you keep going down this path, you know, you're going to get sick, you're going to get even more sick, and it's not going to be good for you. Or maybe it shakes up your marriage, or whatever kind, or whoever it is you're in a relationship with, or maybe you lose your job. Maybe this crisis is affecting your work life, and you lose your job because of it. And the second is confrontation. Confrontation, this is out of scripture even. I love, like, this is what Paul tells us to do too, is somebody confronts you about what's going on in your life. Somebody confronts you and says, hey, if this doesn't stop, this is only going to end in tragedy. This is only going to end in you hurting yourself and only hurting others. And this isn't going to be good. Like, this isn't how you're supposed to live. So that's confrontation. And God uses these to get your attention. And the third is catastrophe. Now, I really hope that nobody here has to go through this final step or this final, this third denial buster. But it is a way that God just really shakes you up and really tries to get your attention. And it's, think about it, it's like when the bottom finally falls out, when everything just finally just stops going and you can't manage your life anymore because of what it is you're dealing with in your life. And so, you know, back to losing a job, or maybe your marriage just finally ends, or maybe it affects your relationship with your kids or with your friends. You know, you feel isolated, you feel alone. And so that is catastrophe. And God uses that. He uses this bottom falling out to kind of wake you up, because you realize that there's nothing left. There's no one to go to. There's no one to talk to. And so you begin to feel hopeless, or you begin to feel just isolated and alone. And God uses that because he wants to give you hope. And that's what our second step is all about. God wants to give you hope. He is your hope. He is who you can run to whenever your bottom falls out, whenever everything just finally stops. You can go to God, and he will give you hope. And so it's this step two we call the hope step. And it's not only am I powerless, but God has power, and he's willing to help me out. He knows my problems, and he cares about my problems, and he cares about me. You know, how many times do we think, well, does God care about me? Does God care about what's going on in my life? Does God care about what's happening right now? And so God is offering to help you and to help change you and to help change these circumstances. And so there is a power that you can plug into to handle that, and that to handle that which you can't handle on your own. So we've been talking about recovery, and last week Matt covered the R. And so this week, we're going to cover a couple more letters. Matt had it easy last week. He only had to do R. So I'm doing E and C. So sorry, Matt. So there's a lot that I've got to put together, and it's been really fun to get to learn about this. And it's been very convicting, too. You know, I don't want you all to think I'm up here just preaching at you and just talking at you and that I don't feel the weight of this myself. That I haven't taken a look at my own life, that I haven't taken a look at my own life and thought, what areas is it that I'm struggling in? What is it that I have refused to give to God? So I just don't want you guys to think that I'm just up here saying, you change, but it's that we change, right? That Jesus is there for all of us, and that me being up here doesn't put me on a pedestal or put me any better than you guys, that I'm here on earth with you. So the E in recovery, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. So it's pretty powerful. I love that. Like, you have to earnestly believe that God exists, and you have to believe that you matter to him. And this is the biggest part, that he has the power to overcome this, that he has the power to overcome what it is you're struggling with. And so we get this out of Hebrews 11:6, which goes, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So how do we seek him? What does that look like? What does it look like to earnestly seek God? What does that mean to be going to God and to be seeking him and to have faith in knowing that he can change these circumstances in your life? Well, first, you must acknowledge God's existence. So I think for most of us in this room, if not most of us in general, I think that we can accept that God is real, right? In some way, shape, or form, if you're in this room, you've probably accepted, okay, there is a God. God's real. But maybe that's where it stops. Maybe that's all that means, is that, okay, God's real. And that doesn't change anything about your daily life. It doesn't change anything about your routine. It doesn't change anything about your personality or your thoughts or your behavior, your interactions with others. It just simply stops at you acknowledge that God exists. So, I don't know, maybe you have questions about who God is, or why does God act how he does? Or maybe you have a misunderstanding of God in general. Maybe this understanding you have of God that you've grown up believing, maybe that isn't the God that we're here worshiping today. You know, maybe you've created this version of God that maybe you yourself worship, or maybe you've created this version of God and you choose not to worship because that's who you've decided God is. So how do we know that he cares about us? And I think that the answer to this, how do we know that God cares about us? I think the answer to this is that because he's given us the ability to understand his character. He's given us the opportunity to learn about him, to get to teach about him, to get to worship him. And so that's a great place to start, just understanding that God has given us the ability to learn about him. You know, if that's where you feel like you are, that is completely okay. There's no wrong place to start in your relationship with Christ. There's no wrong place to start in trying to learn about Jesus, right? Like, we're all at the foot of the cross at times, right? And we're all seeking to know him or to learn about him. And so what we must do is understand God's character. This is a great place to start. This is a great place to get to learn more. And so you must understand God's character. And so it's not just to acknowledge that he exists, but you must understand his character as well, right? If we are going through recovery, if we're going to earnestly seek him, we're not just seeking him. Like, we're not just looking for, okay, where'd my friend go? Oh, there he is. Cool. Okay, great. No, you must earnestly seek him. So by doing that, you must learn more, right? You can't just say, okay, God exists. You have to learn more. You have to understand his character. What is he really like? What is God really like as opposed to what you believe to be true about God? Or what is God really like as opposed to what you've believed about God growing up? So the great thing is that God wants us to learn about him, right? He hasn't just given us the opportunity to learn about him, but he wants us to understand him. He wants us to learn about his character. Jesus wants us to know who he is. And so how did God do that? How did God give us the opportunity to learn about him? Well, not only scripture, but he came to earth, right? Jesus was here, you know, a little over 2,000 years ago, and he walked this earth, and he sacrificed himself for us. And he taught the people around him, and he was never one to shy away from a teaching moment or to let people learn about his character and about who he is. So we get to learn about Jesus just as they did. We have the scripture, and we get to learn, and we get to understand God's character. So maybe you think, okay, Travis, this is great. We get to understand God's character, but what does this do for me? Why does that matter that I understand God's character? That doesn't change my situation at all, does it? But the thing is, not only do we have the opportunity to learn about God and to understand his character, but God knows all about us already. As we're seeking Jesus, as we're seeking his character to understand who he is, he already knows all about us. There's not some learning curve that God has to put in place for him to learn about us, right? He's known us from the second we were even a thought, right? So God doesn't have to go, okay, Travis, who was Travis? Right. Okay. All right, I got the cliff notes. Travis, all right, let's do this. No, God knows everything about you. He knows who you are. He knows he was there the first breath you took. And so he knows all about your situation. So I want to encourage you not to think that God isn't understanding. Because Psalm 56:8, record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? I love this because this tells me that God has a record of our tears. He knows every time that we've cried out to him, or every time that we've just cried out in general, every time we felt hopeless, every time we felt despair, or every time we felt like we're in this cycle, that we're stuck in this routine, or we're stuck in this sin. God has been there. He's been there. And he's just asking you to seek him, to learn about him, to seek his character, to understand who he is. So maybe you're saying, but Travis, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it is I'm struggling with. You don't know how far gone I feel. You don't know how empty I feel or how depressed I am. And maybe I don't, but God does. What I love about God is he knows the good days and he knows the bad days. He knows the mediocre days and he's there with you through them, right? I think sometimes in our life, maybe we either give God credit for the bad days and we don't praise him for them, but we give him credit like, God, why would you do this to me? Or why would you put this in my life? But we don't praise him through the bad days. And then on the good days, we have the opportunity to praise him, but instead we say, well, this was from my own doing. I earned this, right? I know I've done that before. I know I've been one to say, oh, this was a great day, or I accomplished something that I've been trying for a long time. And instead of giving God the credit for it, even though I was praying to God in the process of, God, deliver me through this or do this for me. When it finally happens, I feel like, oh, that wasn't God. That was just me. I did that, right? And so I think there's a lot of times that we do that. And then on a bad day, you just say, God, why would you do this to me? And you don't praise God for it. You don't ask God to help you through it. You just blame him for it. But God cares about your situation. He doesn't just know about your situation. He cares about it. He cares about you. And he cares about who you are. And he cares about the situation that you're in. And he cares about what you're going through. And he knows your heart. He knows your struggle. And he cares about it. And he doesn't want you to suffer any longer. And I feel like this is building. Like there's so much that I just want to talk to you guys about. And so it's like, not only does God care about my situation, but he cares enough about me and my situation that he wants to change it, right? It's like this is how it's building. And like we see that God cares about our situation, but what does that do? Like I could say, oh, I'm really sorry that you're going through this, but that's all I can say, right? Like what could I do to help you through it? Is, you know, if I'm not offering a way to help, what good does it do to just say, oh man, that really stinks? That's like, what if that's how God was treating us? Like, ah, oh, Travis, shucks. That's tough, dude. Man, you got to get your act together, man. Like, don't do that anymore, right? No, that's not what God's doing. Like, he cares about your situation, and he wants to change it. He wants to change you. He wants to change what's going on in your life. And this is what's amazing to me. He has the power to do that. I think that sometimes we forget that God actually has the power to change that situation that you're in. That when you seek him, when you begin to understand him, when you begin to develop this relationship with Christ, he's going to change you. You're going to begin to start to feel conviction, or you're going to begin to start to see your life change. And it's not going to happen overnight. Maybe it will. Maybe, because I don't doubt that God has the power to do that, but usually it takes a little time, right? But I know that when you seek Jesus, I can promise you these things happen. That God begins to change your life. So, I don't know, maybe you feel stuck though. Maybe you're thinking, well, Travis, I know all this. I know that God loves me, and I know that he cares about me, and I know that he wants better for me, and I know that he wants to take this sin out of my life, but I just feel stuck. Right? I just feel like I can't get out of it. It feels so cyclical. Like I try, like I know I shouldn't do this anymore, or I know I should break this habit. And then I promise myself I'm never going to do this again, or I'm never going to go down this road again. I'm never going to, you know, talk to this person again or go and do this type of sin again. But then what do you do? Like a week later, maybe by your own strength, a couple days, what is it? And then you're right back in it. Right? You're right back in it, and you're doing the same thing over and over, and it just feels like a cycle that just can't break. So do you feel stuck in your anger, or do you feel stuck in your work? Do you feel stuck in your job, in your relationship, in the friendships that you've made? What is it that maybe you feel stuck in? Because I think we've all been there at one point or another. We've all felt stuck. We've all felt glued to the seat, and we can't get out of what's going on. So how do you get out of this stuckness, right? How do we get out of that? Because it's not just enough to know that God will help you. You have to take action. You have to take action. You have to take that step. You have to make that decision. If you would, pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for your character, for who you are, for caring about our situation, for knowing our situation. We thank you for being there for us from the very beginning of our life, that you have been with us from the very beginning, and that we get to learn about you, that we get to understand you. Jesus, we're so thankful for getting to learn about you, for getting to understand you. We love you. It's in your name. Amen. So we were talking about making a decision, that you have to take action, that you've got to make this decision. And so what is this? Well, this is where we get into the C of recovery. You have to consciously choose to commit all your life and will to Christ's care and control. And this is where we get our verse that we read, our passage from the beginning of service. This is where Matthew 11, 28 through 30 comes in. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, come to me, right? Like, how many of you feel like you've just been carrying this for so long, that this burden has just been on you and that you're carrying it, that the weight is just overbearing and just overpowering you, and you feel like you're just stuck, right? And you can't move, you can't go on. What Jesus is saying, what his invitation is I can take this from you. I can take this burden from you, right? I can make this easier on you. I can give you rest, right? That's what Jesus is saying. That's what his invitation is, to give you rest. You know, if you feel stressed, if you feel just overburdened, if you feel like you just can't take another step on your own, he's saying you don't have to. And I love that. He's saying, give me control of your life and just watch what I can do. And I think that we kind of forget that sometimes, that we kind of forget what it is God can do in our life. So why would anybody turn that down? Why would anybody not want that? And maybe some of you have heard this before, but maybe you've never acted on it. You know, as Daryl was saying, maybe you've never had the opportunity to do this, to maybe you've had the opportunity to surrender to Christ and chose not to, or maybe you've just never had that opportunity, but you can today. It's not too late. Maybe a lot of you are saying, Travis, is well past my time. You know, I know I'm stuck in this, and I'm just going to accept that this is my lot in life, that I'll just stay stuck in this. But Jesus is saying you don't have to. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter how too late it feels. It's not. Jesus is saying, you can come to me. He's giving you that invitation. And so what is keeping us from taking this third step, this very important step? What's causing you to not give your problems over to God? What is causing you to delay this? So I think that one thing that keeps you from doing this maybe is you just have a hard time submitting, right? So there's a clip I'm going to show in just a second, and it's from a movie that I really like, and it's about these two brothers who haven't seen each other in years, and they're in the ring, and they begin to fight. It's like a UFC competition thing, but I promise it's great. It's not some, okay, Travis, where's this going? But just bear with me and watch this clip and kind of put yourself in the brother's place. So let's take a look. So, I love this movie. It's probably one of my favorites. And what I love about the end of this movie here, if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. I kind of spoiled it for you. But what I love here is that these two brothers haven't seen each other in years, and they're fighting in this ring. And the older brother is the one who said, "I love you, Tommy. Just tap. It's okay. I'm sorry." And you know, I was thinking about this one night, and I was thinking, like, that's kind of how Jesus is, isn't it? Like, he loves us, but you have to submit to him. And I think that's what the problem is. And what I love about that clip is that after his brother tapped, his older brother didn't get up and start celebrating, right? His older brother didn't get up and, because there was like a $5 million prize or something for winning. And that was the final fight. And his brother didn't get up and say, "I won. Yes, I got it." No, he was so focused on his little brother. And I think that's how Jesus is with us. Like, sometimes when we surrender to Christ, I feel like everybody around us is celebrating and saying, "This is the best day of your life. This is amazing." But you're still stuck in this moment, right? Your situation hasn't changed. The little brother's situation was about to go to prison. He had addiction. He had all this different stuff going on. And him tapping didn't change any of that, right? But his older brother was just focused on him. He wasn't celebrating. He wasn't saying, "Give me my $5 million win. He was so focused on his brother, he didn't celebrate. And I think that's how Jesus is with us, right? Like when we submit to him, Jesus isn't saying, I got another one. Yeah, woo, right? He's not doing that. No, he is focused on you. He is down there in the middle of it with you. If you look at the UFC ring as like your stuckness, Jesus is in that with you. And all he's doing is just saying, submit to me, right? He's just saying, submit to me, and I'm going to focus on you. Just because you submit to me doesn't mean I'm going to forget about you. Like, you may be one more in the fold, but I'm still going to be there in your life, and I'm going to guide you no matter what, right? He's not celebrating and saying, this is great, and then forgetting about you. No, he's in the middle of it with you. So I want to ask, what is it that's maybe keeping you from submitting to Jesus? And I think that there's a few different areas in our life that kind of keep us from submitting, from keeping us from giving our life to Christ, from handing it all over to him. And I think the first one, and it's probably one of the most important ones, is pride. And pride will keep you from admitting that you need help. Proverbs 18:12 says, arrogant people are on their way to ruin because they won't admit when they need help. How many times is it, guys or ladies in the room, how many times have you been driving and you refuse to ask directions? You have no signal on your phone, your GPS is gone, and you just won't ask for directions, right? You say, no, I'm going to find this place. Even though there's a gas station with a local gas attendant right there who probably knows the area better than anyone else, you could just stop there and ask, and they'll tell you, oh, you know, you go past the red barn, you go past the black fence, and it's right there on your left, and you're there. But no, you're going to spend an hour just driving around looking for this place, right? I remember when school starting back and everything, and I remember back to my freshman year in college, and I was moving into my dorm, and I hadn't been to Lexington very often. I definitely didn't know UK's campus, and I remember just driving in circles around my dorm, and not realizing where it was. And looking back now, I'm like, it was so simple because I know the campus so well now. But at the time, I had no idea where it was. And I saw all these other people moving in and everything, like everybody smiling, you know, putting their stuff up. And I'm just like, ah, where is my dorm, right? And so, but then if you just ask for directions, and so I think that's what pride is keeping us from doing. It's keeping us from being willing to ask for that help, right? So Proverbs 10:8, the self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. So maybe you're not ready to take this step. Maybe you're not ready to say, God, I give control of my life to you. Maybe you don't feel ready to do that. And the thing is, if you're letting pride stand in your way, you're going to fall flat on your face, and God's going to let that happen if it means that you come to him, right? So maybe it's not pride, though. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe guilt is keeping you from taking this step. Maybe you feel too ashamed, or maybe you're saying, Travis, you don't know my life. You don't know how far I've gone. God can forgive them, but this is too much. I've been stuck in this for too long. There's no way I deserve his forgiveness. There's no way that God will forgive me, and there's no way that I'll deserve it. And you know what? You're right. We don't deserve it. But Jesus is giving us this gift anyway. And that's what I love about it, is that it's already available to each and every single one of us. The gift is already there. We just have to submit to him. We just have to be willing to take that gift by submitting to Jesus. So you're saying, you don't know what I've done wrong. You don't know how far I've gone. And that's okay, because God does. And in spite of that, he says, I love you, right? He says, in spite of how far you think you've gone, I still love you. I still forgive you. And that's just amazing to me. So maybe it's not guilt, maybe it's not pride, but maybe it's fear. Maybe you're afraid of what it is you're going to have to give up. Maybe you're thinking, I'm afraid to commit my life to Christ because I know that it means getting rid of this in my life. And maybe you're at the point right now where you know what your struggle is, but maybe you don't want to do anything about it. Right, I've seen that happen time and time again. People know what their struggle is, and they know what it is that they have to change about their life, and they're too afraid to take that step because they know it means that they have to take that out of their life. So maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're just afraid to do this. But the thing is, we're all being controlled by something, right? Like, we're all choosing what is controlling us. Everyone here is submitting to something. It's just whether it's to Jesus or not, you know, whether it's submitting to this relationship that you're in that you know is unhealthy for you, or maybe you're submitting to, you know, one more drink, or maybe you're submitting to and giving control to, you know, just that channel that you know you need to get rid of, you know, but we're all submitting to something. So what is it that you're letting take control of your life? And then finally, we have doubt, right? You think, I want to believe, but God, I have my doubts, right? And that's completely okay. It's completely okay to have those doubts. And thing is, Scripture says that faith the size of a small mustard seed can move mountains. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's not the size of your faith that's going to matter or that's going to change, that's going to do anything. You just have to give it to Christ. He says, take however small the faith it is and give it to me, and I can change your life. I can rid you of this. And that is absolutely amazing to me. It's not the size of your faith, because God can work with it. No matter how small, no matter how big your doubt is, no matter how small you may feel, God can change that in you. So I want to ask you guys, what is it that's holding you back? What is it that's keeping you from submitting to Christ? What is it that's keeping you from submitting to him and letting him take this burden for you? What is it that's keeping you from feeling light for maybe the first time in your life? And I know it's scary, and I know it's intimidating, but I can stand up here and say it's the best decision you'll ever make. And you're going to have hard days, but Jesus is right there with you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to submit. Thank you for the opportunity to learn about your character. Jesus, we ask that you just displace our doubts, displace our fear, our pride, our anger, Jesus, and that you give us control of, that you allow us to give you control of our life, that we get to learn more about your character, and through that, we get to understand who you are and what it is you have in our lives. Jesus, we ask for just the opportunity to get to surrender to you, to get to know who you are, to submit to you. Jesus, give us that courage. We love you. It's in your name. Amen.
Let's pray again. God, these are hard words for us sometimes to hear and to act upon, words like commit, submission, surrender, because we kind of like doing things our way. We like being in control, and our pride gets in the way, and surrendering control is tough, but oftentimes it's the way that we do things that get us in the situations that we're in, and we try things our way, often they just don't work the way that they should. So we use our own willpower or our own inner strength to try to recover, to try to get out of the trap that we're in. And it's like running on a treadmill. We just keep spinning our wheels. We keep struggling. We keep trying to get better, but things aren't getting better. And the reason that is, God, is because willpower is not as strong as God power. So help us to come to this realization that we can surrender to you. We don't want to bypass this step in our lives. Help us to come to this realization, to be able to submit to you.